It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 330, entitled After 329 Episodes, We Finally Talk About Toilet Paper. It was recorded on Monday the 14th of April, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined today by Tacover Donshot, by Peachinery, and by Corey Mass. We spend a little bit of time at the beginning talking about the bits and pieces that our guests have brought. So, for example, Taco tells us all about how Google now want you to give them all of your marketing emails. Peacher tells us about the fact that Canva are really getting into the website building workplace and how incredibly credible that product seems, as well as the Accessible Data Visualizations course that she is running. There are some links to that in the show notes. And then we get into the WordPress news more generally. WordPress 6.8, the final release, is just around the corner. In fact, it may already have shipped by the time that you listen to this podcast. We also talk about the Page Builder Summit, which is back, pagebuildersummit.com, if you're interested in signing up for that. And also, WordCamp EU is still on the lookout for some volunteers. Kinsta have updated their platform so that all of the problems you may receive on updating plugins have been taken away. That's the hope anyway. If you're in the APAC region, there is a new community for you to join. We will give you some intel about that. And then on the show, the thing that gets all of the comments going, as you might expect, is ads inserted into the WP admin. But wait, not into the admin area, into the block editor. Let's see what our panel think about that. Newsletter glue has been sold. It's something that I use, and so we talk about that extensively. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. Hello there, episode, I don't know if that's right, 330, feels right. Episode number 330 of This Week in WordPress. Thank you for joining us. If you fancy putting your friends, colleagues, relations, pets, whatever, in front of this, and you'd like them to join in the conversation, feel free to do that. We'd love it. The best way to do that is to send people to this here URL, that one there underneath underneath Peach's chin, and the other left, Corey, the other left. It's W. Yeah, you go. Look, a pro. WPBuilds.com/live. WPBuilds.com/live. Send people there. And if you do go there, then you've got a couple of choices if you want to comment. If you've logged into Google, then you can use the YouTube comments. They're on the other left. They're on there somewhere. Just, yeah, they're over there. go and find them. But if you don't want to do that, then you can use the platform's commenting system. We use a platform called Wave Video, wave.video. And you click the little button at the top right hand, or the other left, there we go, the top right hand. I'm just no good at this. It's at the top of the player. Go and click it. It says something like live chat or something like that. And then you don't need to be logged into anything. You just type your name in and the comments will come through. So feel free to do that. Thank you very much, Peach. Yeah, exactly. Tacos on fire. Look at that. That's so good.
Perfect. Him pointing.
Yeah, you point at him. I'll point at him. Every week and point. WPBells.com/live. We're here to talk about the WordPress news. And in order to do that, we're always joined by some fabulous people. I'm very grateful toward these people because A, they are willing to spend an hour and a bit with me. That's quite nice. I appreciate that. And, you know, that's not a small task, put it that way. But also, they're giving up their time. And I just think that's absolutely lovely. And so joining us today, we have got Taco Verdonshot. How are you doing, Taco? He's our co-host for today.
I'm all good.
Yeah, really nice to have you. And look, in the show notes, I spelled your name correctly.
You did, and I love it.
Do you want to know? I figured out why I get it wrong every time. I know now why. I figured it out.
Do tell.
When I type in, so the platform that we use is something that I had built for podcasting and doing show notes and things like that. And it's logged your, I obviously, the very first time you came on the show, I obviously typed your name in incorrectly. Yeah. And it's now bound your email address to that incorrect spelling. And so then I would copy and paste it into the show. So now I know how that's happened.
So now it's fixed forever.
No, it's still broken. I know to manually do it. So there we go. Anyway, here we go. This is Taco's biography. I don't know exactly what this says, but here we go. Nobody really knows what Taco does exactly, but you can find him all the time in online and in-person conferences. I know he used to work at Yoast for a very long time, but he's left them to start working with Yoast DeVolk again. Nowadays, he's known for promoting a new plugin called Progress Planner, and we'll feature a couple of pieces from them later, which helps website owners keep their websites up to date. He's also one of the writers in the Progress for WordPress series on the Progress Planner blog. You can find him very often in the post status chat, but outside of work, Taco is a father of two. He's happily married to his wife, Faye, and he's currently training for the four-day marches in Nijmegen. And just before the call, he was telling me that, yeah, that's not a small task, is it? You're doing like seven gazillion miles in 4 days or something.
Yes. Yeah. So I have to walk for 4 days, 50 kilometers a day. In freedom units, that's about 31 miles we just looked up. So I did a training session yesterday. I've got some blisters. So, not ideal. But they say it's fun, so
yeah. Well, they say it's fun, and I thought you guys over there were always into bikes. Why don't you just get yourself on a bike?
Well, yes, but this is this is happening in my hometown, the closest city to Wijchen, and it's the largest walking event in the world. So it's kind of cool to participate.
Okay, all right.
So that's why I'm doing it for the sixth time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you've done it before. Okay. Yeah. So you know the pain. Okay. Well, well, congratulations for at least, you know, signing up for something like that. I can't even
manage. End of June, July, I'll be able to tell you if I made it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. That's Taco. And joining us there's Peacher, Peacher Neri. Hello, Peacher.
Hello.
Nice to have you with us. I was lucky enough to spend actual time with Peter, and Peter and I enjoy swimming. She broke my goggles, but we had a nice time anyway.
I gave them back. They were fine. I didn't break them.
They were fine.
I wore them for one length.
That's all it takes.
Gave them back. They were fine. And then it's my fault. Clearly, it's clear you're a father. Clearly, it's clear that you're a father.
Blaming
other people.
Seriously, though, all joking aside, that was so lovely. It was really
nice.
I spent a bit of time in a place called Rust for Cloudfest. And it just so happened that we both enjoy swimming. So that was lovely. So let's do Peacher's biography. Peacher Neri empowers agencies, businesses, designers and developers to thrive and win on the web by putting their users at the center of their process. She does this as a UX and accessible design consultant on projects, as a coach and a workshop leader, and by conducting transformational audits. She speaks at conferences globally on UX and accessible design. Peacher's current main focus is on balancing creativity and accessibility without sacrificing either. There you go. So thank you for joining us, Peacher.
Sounds good. Is that me? Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's right. Did you write that? So there we go.
And
the last one who's got a very, very short bio.
I was going to say, I didn't know we were allowed so many words.
Yeah, well, yeah. So it's Corey Mass. How are you doing, Corey?
Good.
Good, good. Now, Corey is the founder and creator of OMGIMG, which is a WordPress plugin. He's also a WordPress freelance developer, as well as a WordPress product organizer. And, hush, hush, he likes to write Chrome extensions, and we'll find out about that in just a moment. But he's got a nice mug. He's very good with the advertising there. Loving it.
The camera can't see the shirt that I'm usually wearing. So, you know,
go on, just give us a little blast.
Move it, just move it up a bit.
Okay, there it is. OMG, IMG, go and check it out.
I'm very happy you're moving up the mug and not the shirt.
Yeah, it's a different kind of show altogether. So that's us. That's our little panel for today. If you want to join us, as I said, wpbuilds.com/live. Let's see who's here. So hello from Charlotte, North Carolina, US. We're expecting, we're back to the weather. Here we go. We're expecting a sunny 85 degrees Fahrenheit day. So that makes for a better Monday along with this show. You're too kind, Ryan. That's very nice. And this must be Taco, I'm guessing. The sun's clock in for work. It's mostly sunny and a pleasant 17 degrees where you are. Not quite beach weather, but perfect for pretending it is. Yeah, we had really nice weather over the last couple of days. It was excellent. Except that you don't have a beach in, how do you say that, Viken?
Yes.
Oh, I got a Dutch word right. Nice. And hello, there we go. Tim Nash, the Sir Tim Nash. Hello from a windy Yorkshire. We seem to have lost the sun. No, it's not with me, sadly.
He should make some Yorkshire gold tea, which is what I have currently here. So.
All tea that is made in Yorkshire is gold, frankly, Corey.
Fair enough.
We only make
the box is red, but
we only make the good stuff. Peach has put in a bunch of comments as well. It's sunny, apparently, where it rightfully belongs. She said she's got all the sun in Spain. Michelle Frechette's joining us from dreary Rochester. The prognosis, the outlook for weather seems to be dismal, more or less in all the places. That's a shame. Oh, no.
A metaphor, Nathan.
No, here we go. It's sunny in Germany, says Birgit. Hello, Birgit. Nice to have you with us. And Marcus Bennett from the sunny state in Florida. So happy to see you all at the start of the week. And good evening, of course. Cameron Jones joining us to say good evening. And he's in, well, I keep saying he's in Brisbane, but I found out last week that he isn't, or the week before or something. But I've forgotten where you are. I'm really sorry, Cameron. And Jackson is joining us from semi-sunny Brighton. And it's 10:45 where Cameron is. That's ridiculous. Thank you for staying up. I really appreciate it. So there's our panelists. Give them all a round of applause. Clap, clap, clap. There we go. And so just before this show started, I had the usual technical gremlins, and I'm now sporting a wired mouse. I had to go down. Mine decided to die about 30 seconds ago. And so now I'm this. You've got a wire.
Of course. What? There's no reason not to have a wired mouse.
Yeah, you've both got a wire. No, I thought wires were gone. Corey, if you please tell me you don't have a wire, just show me the mouse. Or does he even have, he's not got any mouse. He's got some kind of interactive brain control device.
I spent way too much money on
I
one of these.
I did the same, but I can't do it correctly.
I had a Wacom, but it stopped working with my Mac Mini. So I couldn't.
What this for, Corey, is that three-finger gesture where you do three fingers up and it makes all the screens sort of go into different places on the screen. That's literally all this gets used for. I had really high expectations. Anyway, the problem I have with the wired one is that it keeps colliding with my setup. So I do apologize if everything goes wrong. And
if
I close
we all get
windows
like,
that, yeah, yeah.
bonked to the side.
Yeah, yeah, now, all of that, exactly. Okay, so let's get stuck into the bits and pieces that we got for this week. So this is us. This is WP Builds. This is our website. Let's get rid of that. If you fancy subscribing to what we do, please put your email address into that little box and click subscribe. Actually, boatloads of you did that this week. I'm really appreciative. Thank you for doing that. Put your email address in there and click subscribe, and we'll send you two emails, one on a Tuesday when we sort of parcel this up as an audio podcast, and then we'll send you one on a Thursday to say when the regular podcast comes out. A big thank you and a tip of my Yorkshire hat to these three companies for keeping the lights on over here. We've got GoDaddy Pro, we've got Bluehost, and we've got OmniSend, who have been fine sponsors for many, many months, and I really appreciate all of their endeavors to help us keep it going. What have we been doing? Well, we've had a couple of podcasts recently. I thought I'd mention these. The most recent of one is I've been chatting to Mark Westgaard. We decided a little while ago that we'd do a show, and we thought we'd do a show about code. And then we got to record the first episode, and we basically said, nah, let's do something else. And so we've decided to do something called The Nice Show. And on The Nice Show with Mark Westgaard, we just talk about nice stuff. There's no like category particularly for that, but we kind of lump it into nice people, nice community thing, nice internet thing, nice real world thing, and nice news. And his nice person was Derek Ashauer. Mine was Miriam Schwab. I'm sorry, panelists. Another week, it'll be your turn. His nice community thing was the WP World, Marcus Burnett. Mine was a plugin called CodeBlocks Pro. And then another nice thing that we thought was quite nice. I thought daylight saving was quite nice. And he
it's the only thing I disagreed with on the entire show.
No. I'm sorry. This is not up for debate. This is not a democracy. Daylight saving is good, period. And then there was this video, which I'm not going to show you now, but it was on TikTok. Can I just say it's the most profoundly amazing thing ever? It's 7 seconds long. It's a lady walking across a courtyard and an entire massive empty septic tank falls out the sky for no reason. She's nowhere near where tanks should be falling and lands on her perfectly in line with her body so that she just pops her head out the top and just looks around.
I don't think you can get away with not showing it now.
I can't.
We all need to see it.
No. You can watch it. If you go to that show, you can watch it. And the link is there. It's called, well, I've called it Tank Falls on Lady. But that was a nice video. So there you go. That's the level to which I will stoop. Another different level, quick bit of self-promotion, is we have the Page Builder Summit coming up. If you fancy joining us between the 12th to the 16th of May, 2025, it's totally free. We put the content out there for 48 hours for free. And if you scroll down a little bit, you'll be able to see who the confirmed speakers are. You've heard of some of these. Look, there's this lady over here. Look, no, she's some...
Can you actually size the pictures?
Yeah.
I forgot to tell.
Yeah, she doesn't know it yet, of course. I just added her to the website.
Thanks,
those little grab handles on the sides of the pictures, can you actually resize them?
No, sadly, they're just a PNG. No.
I have the same feeling.
Every time I want to meddle with them. Every time.
Idea. Yeah.
It would be brilliant, Nathan, to have something on the side of the picture so that when you make it bigger on the side that there is something surprising showing up.
Oh, we could actually
everybody
use
should have their cats or their pets
system.
Like, yes.
Users resize the pictures based upon the ones that they want to see or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, there they are. Look, there's all the people that are coming so far. There's a few that we still have yet to add, but look, it's like as always, it's a pretty amazing lineup. Cammy's joining us. She's often in this show in the chat. So pagebuildersummit.com, and if you just join the wait list.
I have a question for you, Nathan.
Yeah.
Because you've been talking about the Page Builder Summit for quite a while.
Yeah.
We have heard it a couple of episodes, but who's the target audience? Who do you expect to show up for this summit?
It's really interesting, actually. I'm glad you asked. When we started it, it was just for people using page builders. So things like Beaver Builder, Divi, Elementor, those kind of things. And then by the time the second one had come around, the block editor had started to become much more of a thing. So now there's loads of block editor content. But then as we snuck in other content around like marketing, SEO and design in Peach's case, that stuff, I thought to myself, it doesn't align because the name's wrong. And then I thought, well, the name shouldn't be the thing. It's just because we've got a name, we'll keep the name because it's what people are familiar with. But so the content is basically anybody who builds websites. And I would say it's more to do with people who build websites as a sort of, you know, one solopreneur or two or three in an agency, something like that, as opposed to, you know, your 10 ops and big agencies. Right. It's that kind of audience. Yeah.
Yeah. Solopreneur, small agencies.
Right. Yeah,
everyone exactly right. Doing something with the web summit, formerly known as Page Builder Summit.
There you go. So Page Builder, and I do thank you for That was just expertly done. You just sort of dragged me in and forced me to talk about it some more. I love it. PageBuilderSummit.com if you're interested. And if you want to sponsor that event, we've got a few spots open. You can click on this little link here and find out more. Okay. So that's my self-promotional bit. Now, what we're starting to do more with this show is we offer up an opportunity for the guests to raise something that they think is interesting or something that they have done. And we put that right to the top of the show now. So we're going to start off with a few bits and pieces that Peacher put in my direction. And the first one is this. So it's over at canva.com/canva-create. And it's a video. I mean, there's a whole thing, you know, there's a whole website. It's not particularly massive. But Peacher, why this? Why are we staring at Canva?
So, because apparently, I actually didn't watch the video, but apparently the video is hilarious. And you got Nathan in the real frenzy of excitement.
Well,
if Alex, not appreciation, because you didn't like it. But so, and actually I realized I missed out on a lot by not watching it. I will watch it, but speak through it. So it's just because Canva is omnipresent. I am a designer. I've been using Adobe products as much as I hate having, I mean, I'm basically trapped in an Adobe product. I could have probably bought a couple of houses with all the money I've given to Adobe since the 90s. But I'm trapped because of legacy, because so many reasons. Of course, even I have occasionally had to use Canva, and it used to irritate me a lot because it just wouldn't do the things. And I didn't like the way you organize the files. And then everything is online. I want ownership over my files. So there's a few things. However, can I afford as a designer to ignore it? No, I can't. And now, from now on, can people that build websites afford to ignore it? No, you can't either, because not that I also build websites, but however, you know what I mean? Because they're coming out with incredible new features, and these people are very, very clever. They have, if you know the story of Canva, it was created by a couple of design students who were frustrated with products like Adobe. They were, you know, gatekeeping people who weren't designers out and very expensive and so on. So they democratized design. Whether they did a good job of it all the time or not, it's a different story. I won't go into that. But they, you know, hats off for how they did it at an incredibly young age. So they understand marketing very well, and they are expanding in ways that are logical if you think about it, because it makes sense that a tool such as Canva, that is to say an online design tool, should then give you the ability to create websites. And apparently that's what's coming next. So, yeah. And I think because also one of the many conversations that have been in the WordPress space for a while is, how do we compete with people that are much faster, that can offer, you know, Instagram? How can we compete with them? Because you just click, if a couple of clicks, you set up an account, which is virtually, if you want, it's a kind of website. How do we compete with that? Now there's another, I'm sorry, I didn't want to be the harbinger of bad news, but the thing is that I think that most of us now just look at, if you are sensible and rational about it, these are all tools that we can use. So if right now delivering a website with WordPress is what works, great. But what if one day Canva for a certain type of client, maybe that's the best option. They're just tools that are at our disposal. So we can use them.
The video is pretty impressive, actually. The thing that kind of got me entertained by the video is it is a clear, like, they've basically taken the rule book from an Apple presentation and gone, we're going to try and do all of the things, except we're going to dress in monochrome colors and have a and then have a pianist come on at the end with a full gospel choir just to sort of round the whole thing up. However, honestly, that's just nothing really. The point is, this event was massive. It was really well executed. They clearly know what they're doing, and they are building a website building tool. And if it's anything like Canva, once you get over the hump of it doesn't work like my thing that I know, i.e. like Photoshop or whatever, once you get over that hump, I imagine it'll be really impressive. And ignoring it would be stupidity. You know, this is something that we will have to, as a community, address their UI, their UX, all of the things that they do. So this is their opening salvo, trying to get their designers, presumably, which rank in the millions, and they're paying customers as well. You know, it's not like a free tool. These guys are wedded to it. And if they suddenly throw in like a website building component, I don't know what the price increase for that will be. We need to be mindful of it. So yeah. Okay. Taco, Corey, well, anything to add to that?
Yeah. So, my wife started her own business a while ago, and she's into interior design. So nothing web design, nothing old-fashioned leaflet design. But she was asked by a client to create a bit of a flyer. And it took her about half an hour to fire up Canva, understand how it works, and create a flyer.
Wow.
Yeah.
If they're able to do the same thing with websites, then I fully agree with Picha. This is a new competitor on the block.
Yeah. Their templates, whilst there's that sort of slight overwhelm when you go into a tool like Canva, because there literally are hundreds of thousands, you just end up scrolling, don't you? And your eye settles on one and you just think, that's good enough. That's close enough to what I want. And then you go in and you tweak the font, change the text, and it's like, you just look at it and you think, that's pretty good. And I'm like 8 minutes in and I'm basically ready to click save.
And there's 1,000 YouTube videos on how to do specific things in Canva. There's so much content that will help you do this quickly. It's absolutely brilliant. They've built an amazing company, and
I'll just quickly say one thing that they threw in, which I thought was quite interesting. It's this collaborative editing for design agencies where they basically created a spreadsheet. So all of the things that go into the designs end up in a spreadsheet cell. So the text is in one cell, the images for, you know, image one is in this cell, image two. So whole teams can go and put their ideas in.
Oh, my God.
You can just look at, you just click a button on one row and say, show me what that person intended. And it's like, there it is. So all the bits that make up the image or the Taco's wife's case, the sort of flyer, you could get your team to make 100 different variants and you just click through them one at a time. And it's all like a spreadsheet. It's called Canva Sheets. It's pretty cool. Anyway, sorry, Peter, I interrupted.
I'm amazed. I didn't notice that. I didn't know. And I think it's something, as a designer, I can tell you that is such an organizational life-saving thing. But what I wanted to say was that there will, of course, be people tearing their hair out and saying, oh, now we're doomed and we'll lose all our jobs. But notice that your wife, Taco, had a client ask her to do a brochure, because there's still plenty of people who don't want to even touch anything like with a barge pole. You know what I mean? So it's going to be a tool that, if you like it, I don't know whether I like it, but if you like it, it's going to make your own life easier. Why the hell not? I mean, at times I have used Canva instead of Figma because Figma was complete overkill and I just needed to, hash a few ideas together. And so it's just yet another tool that we have to make our own lives easier. I don't think, because drag and drop has always existed, templates have existed, and yet still we get, clients asking us to please do it. Yeah. So I don't see that being a problem.
Thank you. Corey, anything to add on Canva?
My small town runs on Canva, and I imagine almost every other small town in the US at least, and probably everywhere in the world, runs on Canva. Like I built a little website, a one-page website for a local locksmith. All of his artwork, his business cards, all that stuff was done on Canva. He would have done the website on Canva had they offered this. The country club where I bartend, more and more we're putting stuff out on Canva. And then last week I met with the Parks Department, so an actual government agency, talking about promoting pickleball, which I play 3 times a week.
And you're busy.
I am. And we're about to start tennis and golf. So yeah, doing lots of stuff. But the point being that talking to the director about promoting pickleball to get new players, he's like, well, come around the back of my desk. Here, I've got a Canva you know, subscription paid for by the government, the local government. You know, and they, so that's what they do all their flyers and all their promotion in. But, you know, my mom runs a golf league. She's like, how do I create a little graphic? I'm like, here's Canva. And she figured it out readily enough. You know, it's, they know their audience. They've knocked it out of the park with their products. And, you know, why do anything more difficult? And people can, it's DIY, right? And there's high-end design, there's art, there's definitely, you know, things, everything in almost every industry I've seen on online for almost 30 years, including WordPress, everything moves upstream. And so they're super smart for coming in downstream, where these local businesses, oh, there's a food truck, a friend of mine runs a food truck, everything he does is on Canva, because that's not his job, right? And it's not even, once he's got his logo in there and his black and yellow theme, it's good enough.
Yeah.
And for better or worse, that's largely the world we live in, as much because his food truck is parked in front of the Black Bear Campground today, right? And so he doesn't need to spend money or spend hours designing a graphic for something that's not relevant tomorrow. And so I think that's a lot of the use case.
One of the things that I'll be curious to see is that obviously Canva is a tool where you literally want this thing right here of this size, and it's got to go there. We live in a different universe. We live in an HTML, CSS, JavaScript universe where things have got to be accessible.
And sizes, screen sizes.
Exactly. Different viewports, screen sizes, and all of that. So it'll be interesting to see how they accommodate that, because I'm imagining that their audience base will be very familiar with. Well, no, what do you mean it can't go exactly there, all the time there? No, it'll be interesting to see how they accommodate the vagaries of the DOM.
And the accessibility as well, because they're not great on accessibility yet.
No, okay. So anyway, there we go. Canva Create. The links will be in the show notes tomorrow. It is worth watching. The presentation is super slick, and it really does give you a sort of slight insight into how
they got a lot of attention. Some of it good, a lot of it sort of laughing, but attention, in this case, any attention is good attention. Last year when they did the same, they had somebody like do a Canva wrap that was awful, but you couldn't look away. And then a lot of people were just kind of making fun of them for it, but that's totally okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I mean, again, their branding, their ethos is fun and friendly. So it works.
Yeah, exactly.
Your image froze for me.
Exactly. Yeah. Hello, Daveden. He says Canva's saved his life many times. It can design a simple flyer in minutes. And Michelle Frechette's joining us using it all the time, she says. Yeah.
I'd be curious to hear, Nathan, what percentage of speakers at the Page Builder Summit use Canva to build their presentations?
I don't know. What I should do is I should probably just mention the whole, but you are so good. I just have to say, Taco's just spoon feeding me. I don't know how many people at the PageBuilderSummit.com. we did this a couple of weeks ago. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. Thank you, Taco. I appreciate it. Let's move on, though. Let's move on to something that Peach is going to do. I know she wants to promote something that she's got going on, so I'll just raise that onto the screen quickly. Enroll in Get It Seen Accessible Data Visualizations. So, Peach, what are you doing here?
Look at my amazing sales page. Clearly, I'm a marketing genius.
Do you do this on Canva, I suspect, yeah?
Well, more or less. No, but I am... I was very happy and proud to be part of the team of Visually, the accessible data visualization. Plugin at CloudFest Hackathon. And the interesting thing is that this project had already been started. It existed. And just by complete chance, I had been working a lot on making infographics accessible with a client of mine. So it was a perfect fit. I mean, it would have been anyway. That was going to be the accessibility team was going to be my team. But this made it obvious. And what they, so I helped with this, but the what the team did, not me, the team, the developers and the rest of the team did in a couple of days was extraordinary. Because if you look at what this plugin does, I mean, you need to design your, you need, you know, if there is a good start, that's good. That you need, that's the, that's why I'm teaching the masterclass, because you do need, we need data visualizations all the time. It's much more, if you think about it, we need them all the time. So to learn how to make them accessible and do them correctly is a great skill to have, because also in the meantime, I'm teaching a lot of sort of accessibility principles. So you should start from that. But if you have existing data visualizations that don't work, or if you don't know how to code them correctly, this plugin is the, I was going to say a word that probably it's not allowed on.
it's rather just, good. That's it's, what you want
to say. It's so good. And it's jolly not good. Yet complete. It's jolly good. It's just a darling little plugin. It's it does a lot. So you will, the plugin will, if you scroll down, Nathan, the plugin will give you the alt text via AI, so that there's a description for your inaccessible data visualization that doesn't have a description, because you do need a text description. But it also gives you, look, we create an accessible alternative, whether it's simple text, if sufficient, or a fully structured table with sorted data. I think this is sort of almost magic. It's just really, really miraculous. So
do you know what we missed here? We missed the enormous segue between Canva and this, didn't we, really? Because Canva's the sort of place.
Well, Canva does charts as well. You can generate.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You make the chart in Canva and you bring it over to your WordPress website, and now it becomes a black hole for somebody who can't see the chart, because the data is held in a sort of rasterized image or something like that. And so this plugin, I watched it happen. I was there watching it happen. This plugin will extract the data from an image and present it as text so that somebody can read it. It's breathtakingly good.
But in case you think, okay, so why are you even doing a masterclass on how to do accessible infographics then? Well, I'll say, well, because you still need to know how to do it accessibly from the beginning, because for a number of reasons, but also because this plugin won't necessarily do everything. So the plugin is conceived for things that already exist and that are wrong. And so it helps you with that, but you still need to learn. And that's why you should come to my workshop, for which you have a discount, which is WP Build 10, that gives you a discount. A 10 euro discount.
Let's go through that then. So it's coming up. It's Wednesday. Wednesday, the 16th of April at 4 p.m. CET. It's called Get It Seen. And if you use the coupon code, I don't know where you put it, but somewhere.
You put it there at the bottom.
Shove it in there. Yeah. If you put in WP Builds 10 like that, oh no, that's not 10, then you're going to get 10% off. Let's see if it works.
So, what? And also,
it saves me Googling, coupon plus brand name to find the discount code like I usually do.
Oh,
that's the one.
Such a great one.
That's so clever. I didn't know. So, I know you want to, I just to say that one thing I'm really proud of is that the people who take a class with me always come back. So, so I'm really, really proud of that. So if you enroll in this, you probably will become a serial student of mine, which will be nice for everyone. That's it.
The URL is peachinary.com/EAI. Yeah,
EAI. I've done this, you taught me this trick, Nathan.
Oh.
Sorry, I should have written it actually. Not a short, I've done a redirection. You taught me this.
So P-A-I.
E-A-I, sorry.
So peachinary.com. E-A, what is it? What's the short bit at the end?
EAI.
Okay, so peachinery.com/EAI. I'm going to go for, yeah. Is that where I'm going to go for?
Yeah.
EAI. Let's see if it works. Give it a second.
I might have given you the wrong way. I mean, there's always this possibility.
No, that's works.
Yeah, you're a few.
So, sorry, I'm not trying to interrupt. So peachinery.com/EAI. I'll put the link into the show notes if you fancy the Get It Seen Accessible Data Visualizations course. And I will just mention once more, this is the project that Peach was involved in at Cloud Fest. It's called Visually, V-I-S-U-A-1-1-Y, like ally, .org. And you can download the plugin there. And it is...
I don't know if it's still available, actually, because last time I asked, it was not quite ready to be shared with the general public, but it will be very soon.
Market, and it will come around.
This project will continue.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much. Right, in which case, I'm going to move us on. And Corey, Corey's built a Chrome extension, and it freezes your Chrome tabs, I want to say. It's called the Pause tab. I've had no time to look at this. Tell us what it is.
So here's the full transparency. I haven't had a chance to talk about this publicly. So I love snoozing things. Back in the day, there was a system called Getting Things Done. It was like a very early popular method of getting things done. Thus the name. And one of the things there was, you know, get through your inbox or get through your list of things to do. And one of the actions, you either do it right that day, you delegate it, or you snooze it. And so I'm a big fan of snoozing things. Gmail has snoozing for emails, you know, get this out of my inbox, bring it back on Monday when I'm actually going to deal with it kind of thing. For a couple of years now, I've used an extension called Snooze Tab, same idea. Like you open up a bunch of tabs of, you know, stuff. You're doing a bunch of research about your trip next weekend, but you're like, this is Thursday at 10 a.m. You know, I put this away. Let me look at this at the weekend. But the Snooze Tab, and then there was another one called Snooze or something. And they all got ripped out of the Chrome store. I don't know why. I think they just hadn't updated in enough or whatever. So I waited and waited and waited for them to get fixed or updated. All their domains now have expired. Everybody's abandoned it. So I said, all right, well, here's a great excuse for, I've been trying to build more with letting Cursor take the lead, AI writing the code. Chrome extensions are just JavaScript, but sort of configured in a specific way. So it was a really fun project to create a real tool, largely built by AI, to fill an actual need of a product that's gone away now. So I couldn't do anything with the word snooze, so we've switched to the word pause because the domains were available, shockingly.
Yeah.
PauseTab.com.
That's cool. So can I just ask then, if I'm on a tab and I pause it, how does it come back as a notification on the Mac, for example? It just sort of says
you don't have it. I'm like, we're watching it go. I'm like, so just click on the.
No, I haven't got it installed. We're watching your video. Yeah.
But if you, in the little window that pops up, so you're looking at a tab, you're like, I want to pause this until the weekend. So you click on the little icon, you select, you know, pause until Saturday at whatever time in the morning. And then there's also a button that I think it'll show it here in a second. Oh, if you scroll down a little, it shows you all the paused tabs. And you can set, you know, what does morning mean to you? So it'll wake up in the morning, but is that 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. and that kind of thing. Either when the time rolls around or the next time you open your computer or restart Chrome, even if it's after the time allotted, it'll reopen the tab and it'll show you a standard Mac notification.
That's neat.
So again, the idea being just, you know, get this out of my, close this tab, but make sure it comes back when I actually want it. Right now it's all custom, or it's all, there's six presets and then a, you know, pick your time, date and time. And then coming soon, there'll be a repeating. That's what the other extension.
Oh, come have. Back like once a week or something.
Yeah. I absolutely, I mean, to me, that's almost more crucial. So every Monday, make me go look at, you know, my bank account or whatever.
Yeah, that's a neat idea.
And now I'm in charge, I get to add the features that I've always wanted. And so there's things like, for me, like there's a couple of web comics that I read. And so I have to re-snooze it every week because like I'll progress to the next page.
Right. Right.
And so I'm going to have like rolling, you know, like follow the changes and, you know, if the URL changes in this tab, still open the newest. Yes, Taco, I'm calling on you. You in the back.
Yeah. Is this room for feature requests? Because I would love snooze this until I'm home button.
So that until I'm on my desktop.
My laptop, I can do all the personal stuff. And when I go to work, it will close all the personal stuff and keep the work stuff open.
Yeah, I'll definitely look into that. Like there's a lot of the to-do list apps do that kind of stuff. So I'm trying to take cues from those other systems too that have location specific or, you know, mood specific, weather specific. It's sunny out. Show me all my sunny day tabs.
Okay. Yeah.
None of us get to ever see, apparently.
You've got a few nice comments here. Jackson says he thinks it's awesome. And then ML, Jackson. I don't know who ML is, but Corey, my laptop memory and processor says thanks. Yeah, that's another good reason just to do it, just to take the heat out of your processor. That's a good idea. And then Jackson again, can you do for a whole window with multiple tabs? Oh, in other words, can you close down a ton, like five things in the same window and snooze all of them?
That's I should be able to, I know I can technically. I haven't added that yet. I think one of the existing extensions offered that. So yeah, kind of on the long term. I wanted to basically like all of this was. Yeah, it's a neat little product. There's not really a way to charge for it. I'm not so concerned with that. But I also want to emphasize that this was all kind of meant to be a bit of an experiment where it's like,
I know
enough JavaScript to muddle through or to get through the code stuff, but the way that Chrome extensions are set up is a little different than web JavaScript, and so it was actually really fun to let AI pretty much do the heavy lifting on this using it started with a boilerplate, and then I sort of skimmed the code, but letting it take charge and double checking the work and then just basically being in charge of testing and then actually getting this into the Chrome store. The truth was it took twice as long to get through the Chrome store application as it did to write the freaking Chrome extension. 'Cause they want to verify my business and all this stuff, which I get, but you're sort of like, okay, what if code isn't the issue anymore? Is the businessy stuff now what's actually holding up, you know, technological progress?
I have a couple of questions. First one, it's going to annoy you. When's the Firefox version ready? And I'll move on quickly because I know the answer to that is going to be it's not, Nathan. And the next one is very technical and a bit not really related to the product. What did you use to make that lovely little video that we're looking at now?
Answer to the first one is I think the boilerplate that I used. So it's React, JavaScript, and then is how you build Chrome extensions. Mm-hmm. And then I think bundling for different browsers is largely down to configuration and stuff like that. And so it's what I love is the ability to, again, ask AI way beyond the code you're looking at. Like, okay, now I've built this for Chrome. You know, how do I bundle this for Firefox? And it'll go, and give me the code or whatever the steps I need to do exactly that. So I definitely plan on playing with that.
Yep. And the video.
And then the video, I use Screen Studio.
Okay. Studio. That's what I wanted to know.
The zooms.
I was thinking about getting that this last week and I wanted to see somebody that had actually used it in the real world. So you've now,
yeah,
it, you've now opened up my wallet for me. That's good. Okay.
I bought it Let me send you an affiliate code. No,
oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. I bought it when it came out. And I'm glad I did. It's kind of like I often end up essentially creating, it's the equivalent of creating something in Canva and then dragging it in Photoshop.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a one trick pony. In this case, I was able to just use the app.
Yeah, that's what you've got here is exactly what it bills itself as, isn't it? It sort of zooms in on the appropriate bit automatically. And I thought for a product demo, it'd be quite good. Yeah.
It's great for that. And the ability to control the zoom and settings on the zoom and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I love that because like I like free, like a lot of us. And so then I end up doing the actual final editing for most of my other videos in iMovie, which I hate, but it's free because I'm a music nerd. And so like, I need my audio levels to be correct. If I'm doing a voiceover, I need bed music, all that kind of stuff. But this is what I use to capture whatever I'm doing. Nice. And they now have a nice little thing where you can put yourself in a little circle in the corner.
Yep.
So you can use it. Little by little, you can get further and further along in the final product.
My export from that. My wife does that to me in real life. She puts me in a little circle in the corner and just tells me
nobody puts Nathan in the corner.
Stay there for a couple of days, Nathan. You're on the naughty step.
Okay. Better a circle than a square, at least.
No, I'm in such trouble now that I've said those words. I want to take them right back. She doesn't do anything like that. She's a lovely wife. She's ever so good. Moving on.
You did that.
I'm going to move on. And I'm going to go, where am I going to go? We've done that one. We've done that one. Let's do this one quickly. So this is Taco's little endeavor. So over on the Progress Planner website, we've got an article called Google Now Wants Your Marketing Emails. Literally, I haven't had a chance to read this, but you've got me with the title. I'm already slightly annoyed, I think. What's this about?
Well, it's basically what the title says. So Google Merchant Center is for people who sell products. And they've now introduced or invited merchants to send them their marketing emails. Or they'll subscribe themselves, or you can subscribe them to your list. And they will use that content as well to rank your business and to learn more about your business.
Huh.
So literally, Google wants you to send all your marketing messages to them.
So is it a bit, it's like SEO for newsletters?
Yes.
So you just basically add them, in effect, you're adding them to your email list in a sense, in that when you send one, Google gets a copy. For what reason? Why? Like, it's not going to surface these in the front end of Google on search, is it? Or is it?
I don't know yet. It might. It might pick up on sales that you're doing. It might pick up on other stuff. I don't know exactly yet. But I thought it was big enough news that everyone who is in Merchant Center should start doing this.
Okay.
If you scroll down a little bit in the article by Yoast, I think he included the email address. Yes, because this is the best bit. Gmail has a fixed length, so it's marketing email to gook at gmail.com.
I fell foul of that.
Yes,
own.
This is legit.
That's great. So you basically, Google wish you to add marketing email to goog at gmail.com to all of the lists that you've got around there. And then we'll just see what Google does with it.
And yeah, it will start crawling the stuff that you put in there.
Interesting. Because they are very, very keen, especially on, you know, with Android and things like that. They are really good. I mean, I don't know if you've had that. I don't really use a mobile phone of that nature much anymore. But I do remember Google offering me some fairly credible suggestions based upon my geolocation and things like that. You know, it sensed that it was the time of day when I might want to grab a bite to eat. It knew where I was. And so that kind of information could easily come out of a newsletter because that's easy to fire off, isn't it? And maybe you wouldn't have put it on your website because, I don't know, you're just promoting it in a different way.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
I mean, potentially amazing. So, because I can never be bothered to actually post the emails that I write to my list on my website, but I should because I write really quite interesting stuff, people.
Does your platform not automatically create a web version so that people who want to click that button, usually at the top or the bottom of the email?
No, it doesn't. But I don't. Huh. What I mean is also posting on my website. I use a Fluent CRM.
CRM, okay.
And it doesn't do it. No. I mean, it's within WordPress.
Yeah.
But I should just post them, have an area on my, you know, just copy and paste without worrying about Yoast's little green light. So not just post it there, but I don't do it. So are you saying that I should, if I add marketing email to Google,
at
gmail.com to my list, am I allowed to do that though? Can
say
I?
So.
Well, yes, you can, of course.
I am. Yeah. Because, you know, GDPR, I should, you know, do I have their implicit authorization to add their email address? Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's not a person. So.
Yeah. So it says here the content may be displayed on Google search, the shopping tab, and Google Maps. So
amazing.
That is kind of interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. The Maps feature is the one that has been most useful to me over the years, actually, on my phone. Okay, so that was progressplanner.com. And if you go to the blog, no doubt you'll see it there. But the article was called Google Now Wants Your Marketing Emails Literally. Let's just totally segue a bit. Let me get the right tab because it perfectly segues. And let's just go to this. So we're straight back into WordPress. And now this is news about a WordPress plugin, which is very much related to what we were just talking about. A little while ago, it's probably like 4 or 5 years now, Leslie Sim came onto the scene with what I considered at the time to be the best implementation of anything inside the block editor. And it was a newsletter plugin, which enabled you to use blocks to create a newsletter and a post simultaneously. And the beauty of it is, the beauty, I think, is that you've got this toggle inside all the blocks and you can say, show this in the newsletter, show this it only, show this in the post only, or show in both. So you can write your newsletter and then you can say, actually, do you know what? Turn that image off in the newsletter, but turn this paragraph on in the newsletter, but off in the blog. And so I now create all my content inside the newsletter glue structure, which is subsequently inside a WordPress post. So this came across my... Anyway, brilliant.
Clearly, thing. I should have got that instead of...
When we finish the current feature, I'll show you what it can do. And honestly...
Why? I've got the wrong tool.
It's a great tool.
Anyway, sorry. It is a great tool. I did interrupt.
Before they put the prices up, because they made it a very enterprise pricing structure about 2 or 3 years ago, and now it is fairly expensive. However, hold the phone, because Leslie and Ahmed, who are her sort of developer, they've decided to sell it. And so, you know when you hear all these stories about things getting sold in the WordPress space and 99% of them don't affect you, and so you just sort of go, this one affects me, so I'm not going, I'm thinking, oh, what's going on? So she sold it this article is all about that. She sold it to a chap called Tyler Channel, Channel. And what makes me feel pretty sanguine about it is that Tyler is very much in the WordPress and newsletter space already, because he's got a project called Paywall Project. And the idea is, you know, you've been to like a newspaper and you've seen after like reading for 30 seconds, they sort of gatekeep and say, you know, you either have to have a subscription or sign up for a free trial, whatever. That's what they do. And so they're very much in line, you know. But anyway, so that sort of segued nicely. So I'd just like to say, honestly, Leslie was so amenable when I bought the plugin, because I think I was one of the early customers. And I just kept going back to her and saying, can you make it do this? Can you add this? Can you add this? And she very often would say, yeah, great, great, we'll do it. And she did. And so I just want to wish Leslie all the success in the world. She's launched a project called EventCoy, which is a bit like an events management plugin. So the concentration needs to go there, I think. So good luck with the new project. But also I hope that this carries on, because I am using it a lot. So sorry, totally segued, started nattering. Anybody want to talk about that one, or should we just move on?
I'm happy for her from a business standpoint. Yep. Like that's to build a business to the point where you sell it successfully. And I mean, it seemed like a successful business. Obviously I don't know the circumstances around selling it, but you know, congrats to her. That's amazing. Cause she's a lovely person and a lovely, very active member of our community and all that. So
I remember thinking,
thrilled to see her succeed.
Yeah, I remember thinking just before she came out with the project, the newsletter glue, literally like 3 weeks before, somebody should build this. And in my mind, you know, like you just have that idea, you don't think about it much more, but I came up in my head with exactly what Leslie built. So the minute I saw it, I was like, that is what I want. And Peter, I will show it to you and you might.
Yeah, I only just rebought the annual subscription to the other one. So it's going to make me suffer, but because presumably it's got some kind of CRM as well, must handle your contacts.
Cameron's saying, does the stream keep dropping out for everybody else? Is it my internet? The four of us seem to be fine. So I'm imagining it's maybe you. Sorry, Cameron, I don't know. Okay, let's move on then in that case. Right, let me see where we got to. I think we got to about, that's it. We got to about here. So Taco brought this. Actually, this came to my attention via an email, but it never made it into the show because the email dropped after I put all the links together. But Taco wanted to raise it, and it's WPAPAC, so WPAPAC.com. And this seems to be the first post announcing WPAPAC, a collective of WordPress professionals in the in Asia Pacific. Did you have anything you wanted to say specifically around that, Taco?
Well, mostly the fact that they are organizing is probably interesting. What we've typically seen is the WordPress space being dominated by Europe and the US for a very large part. And obviously with WordCamp Asia and a lot of the larger companies that are in India and Bangladesh, there's a huge market on that side of the world as well that has been slightly harder to discover, at least from Europe. And I hope that this will be a nice way for them to get organized and to really put a spotlight on all the amazing companies that exist in the APAC region.
Yeah, if you look at the contributions to Core more recently, it's been skewing towards Asia a lot. Yes. And also, if you look at a lot of the innovative products, it's, you know, the new things that seem to be coming out, a lot of that is coming out of, you know, Asia as well. And so, well, the APAC region. And obviously a bunch of the community members, and I don't know who wrote this particular piece, they've obviously felt, you know, maybe it's time that we got our own voice and got our own community together and so that we can bang the drum. And
fair enough.
Quite exactly right. So here it is. It's WPAPAC. And I'm guessing, I mean, I imagine the first port of call is to get members and people interested who actually do live in that part of the world to bang the drum. And maybe it's going to be about creating events or creating media attention or creating a collective of people that can talk to you if you've got a business you want to get off the ground. But APAC, WPAPAC.com. Corey.
And I'll bring up, I love telling this story. I'll try to do the quick version, but at a Pressnomics pre-COVID, so many moons ago, I wound up having dinner with four gentlemen from India in particular, and it was absolutely fascinating. A variety of, I think they all owned agencies, but of varying sizes. And we're kind of going around telling everybody what we do and what our businesses look like. And the last guy goes, yeah, I don't get out of bed for less than $6 million. and we were like, you've got our attention. And he proceeded to describe how he builds basically the whitehouse.gov. But of all over Asia, India, you know, these huge, huge, huge markets where there's an unbelievable amount of money that I literally didn't know existed.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that, right? Like the American tech bubble, the European Western tech bubble, different languages, dot, dot, dot. Anyway, the point being that this kind of organization, this kind of coming together, you know, they're calling it a collective, the coming together of people in different markets makes so much sense, because we all have bubbles, bubbles within bubbles, different markets, different audiences. And often you need that. It isn't just about us Westerners and our little bubble.
For sure. And one of the things that I always find interesting is, for example, at WordCamp Asia, I had a lot of conversations, and several times someone told me, yeah, I have a small agency. I'm like, what do you say, small agency? Yeah, like 50 people or so.
Wow.
Wait, what? So the skill difference is, yeah, the perception of skill is so different. And I love for them to get a voice through this initiative.
So
solving different problems together, facing different challenges together, just different context, you know. Wouldn't it be fun to be able to listen?
Yeah, I haven't really had a chance to poke around on this website, but no doubt if this project takes off, then we will be hearing much more from them. And I expect a very vocal bunch they will end up being as well, because there is just so much interesting stuff happening there and so much opportunity for people building stuff in WordPress to fit into the markets, to become the CRM, the website for the, you know, the different properties over there. And so, yeah, go check that out. So thank you for raising that this time around. And I would just say, Taco, that your t-shirt is exactly the same color as their branding. Yes. You've done a fantastic job there of aligning yourself with that. Okay, moving on very quickly. I would just quickly add, Peaches just had to nip away. She did say that was going to happen, so hopefully she'll be back soon. She's got somebody coming, and she said she'll drop back in as soon as she possibly could. Okay, so WordPress core stuff very quickly. WordPress 6.8, I suspect we were all imagining WordPress 6.8 would be, you know, important, but not quite
first
the importance.
Of three. Yeah.
Yeah, not quite as important as it's going to be. WordPress 6.8, your final chance to test it. Release candidate 3. It is hoped that it will be released in very short order, basically. Yeah, tomorrow. Yes. And that will be it for major WordPress releases for the year 2025. You know, if I rewind the clock just a few months ago, we had articles that I'd put on the screen, which were showing release cycles, which included, you know, 6.9 and when they would land and all that kind of stuff. That's no longer the case. 6.8 is going to be the big finish for the year. And then I guess it kind of raises the question about what does that all mean. But anyway, you've got 24 hours if you want to quickly check that one out.
And if you've never been to a release party, because that will happen tomorrow if the release is happening, go over to the Make WordPress Slack if you still have access, and go check it out in the core channel, because it's like watching magic happen. People
nice.
From different companies coming together. You can help test. It's absolutely fantastic to watch.
Oh, Cameron's just... So obviously Cameron is in Australia, so fits perfectly under the WP APAC thing. Sorry, let me just get rid of that so Corey's head is not missing. I'm very excited for WP APAC. It's very hard to be... Sorry, have I bruised you? It's very hard to be involved in the broader community here when everything else is going on in the middle of the night. Yeah, right on. So that'll be really significant for you and, you know, that part of the world. Oh, I'm so pleased. That's great that you've... You found that to be useful. Okay, so there we go. WordPress 6.8. Allied to that, kind of, is I was just explaining that WordPress is going to have its final release, major release, in 6.8. And I don't really want to dwell on this article because I don't really find a lot in it substantively to be of particular interest. However, it's more the fact that this is out there now. And I wonder if this is a perception that we need to be mindful of, worried about, and so on. And so this is on Search Engine Journal. And it's an article which really doesn't focus on WordPress much. They do a bit, you know, they're obviously very much allied to what Yoast is doing and the SEO plugins and things like that, but not so much just WordPress core. They occasionally write something, but not a lot. However, they felt the need to dip their feet in the water for this one, and it's entitled WordPress Contributor Cutbacks Cause Core Development to Stall. And already I'm kind of thinking, well, that doesn't sound good. you know, as a outsider, as somebody that's using WordPress, if I don't know, let's say I'm a business owner and I know that my website is using WordPress, I'm reading that and I'm probably starting to think, hang on a minute, what do you mean it's beginning to stall? And then it goes on to explain all the different pieces that we all know about, because we've done it on this show many, many times before. The fact that we've got this one release in 6.8, and what does that mean? The track tickets have sort of stagnated. New features obviously won't be added to 6.9 in a way that we might have expected. Maybe things like canonical plugins will take over the reins, but that's difficult because, honestly, does anybody know where to find these canonical plugins and report back feedback? And anyway, all of that. So the reason I'm raising this really is, do we have a messaging crisis at the moment? Inside the WordPress baseball, we know what's going on. We understand it. We may be disappointed by it. We may have wished for 6.9 to happen later in the year and possibly 7 in November or something like that. This is what we've got. But are we starting to, you know, when I don't know what the right word is, you know, when places that produce the news, for want of a better word, produce content like this, do we need to be sort of slightly worried, or should we just bat our clients away and say, don't worry about it, it's all being taken care of? So that was what I thought, really. Just, it was a slight concern. So over to you if you've got anything to add.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. Yes, we should be worried that it's reaching the mainstream media, although Search Engine Journal is still a niche website, so it's not like CNN headline yet. Because indeed, that will have an effect on the public perception of WordPress. But at the same time, we can still say, don't worry, WordPress, I mean, with the release tomorrow, will be the best version of WordPress that we've ever had, because it continues to get better. Am I worried about the speed of development? Yes, definitely. With everything going on, there's reason to worry. But it doesn't mean that it's an instant write-off. So it's not WordPress is gone because we're slowing down. So we can definitely tell customers, clients, potential clients, yes, WordPress is still a good tool to build your website with. It's open source, which means that whatever happens, you always control its source. You can move it somewhere else. You have a lot of people around the world who can work with it. So it's still a safe investment.
Can I just say, in a breathtaking development that's only just happened, CNN have in fact decided to say on the homepage of their website, WordPress contributor cutbacks cause core development to stall. And then there's a picture of Donald Trump inexplicably. It's almost like somebody went into the inspector and copied and pasted some text. But of course, nobody would dream of doing that.
We're going to see this happen anytime soon.
But it does sort of slightly concern me. And then, you know, all of the other bits and pieces in the... I guess, like you say, Search Engine Journal is fairly niche.
But we saw, you know, WP Drama reached TechCrunch and other, like, bigger outlets previously. Like, I think we enjoyed No News is Good News for decades, unless it was an extremely slow day or, again, like, smaller news outlets. But I think this is all part and parcel of that bigger WP Drama that I had friends and colleagues who are not in the WordPress space messaging me during that and going, like, cause they know they associate me with WordPress, as does everybody. You know, and vice
all
versa.
People.
Like, you can't think WordPress without thinking Corey. Obviously.
No,
but
it's
terrible.
But whenever I produce a podcast and, you know, talk to other guests, all I can see is you. I know.
Right back at you, buddy.
You're very kind. Okay, so maybe it's something we don't need to worry about, but the perception I don't know, maybe they were just looking for something to say. I thought I'd mention it. Right, we need to scoot on a little bit because time is of the essence. I'll very quickly mention this. If you are heading to Basel or wish to for WordCamp Europe, they still have the voting form open, not voting form. They still have the option for you to offer your services as a volunteer. I believe that's going to end in about 4 or 5 days' time. So make plans now. 18th of April, it's open to it. If you fancy joining the team at WordCamp Europe, which is happening, as it says here, in Basel from the 5th to the 7th of June. So not that long ago. Are either any of you two? I'm going to imagine that maybe Corey's not because of, you know, it's a long further away. But are you going, Corey? No. Taco, are you going?
I'm still on the schedule as a speaker. So, yep.
Yep. Nice. And Peacher? That's a no. Shake of the head. Okay.
That anyway, is definitely a no.
It's a big no. Okay. If you want to be a volunteer, you can do that. Right. Let me quickly move on. I don't really know if this is news or if there's something technically brilliant here, but Kinsta have dropped this press release this week in which they are touting a new feature of theirs. So if you're a Kinsta customer, this may be of great interest. They are releasing automatic plugin updates to make WordPress updates seamless and secure. How this differs from the core offering of updates and therefore, unlike rollback mitigation if something goes wrong, I do not know. Maybe it's more on a sort of platform level. Anyway, the point is they are now offering what sounds like a kind of cast iron guarantee that a plugin update will not take your WordPress website down. I'm imagining it's something to do with taking a backup, doing some updates, inspecting the backup, because they do a whole set of sort of regression testing by the sounds of it.
Yeah, the visual regression testing is the part that's very different from what WordPress itself is doing.
Right, that's a good point. So they're presumably creating a staging website or something akin to that, doing the update, doing this regression testing, looking at some metrics, seeing if anything is different. And then if all is okay, update the real live site or, you know, migrate the staging to live or whatever. And anyway, so this is, if other hosts are not doing this, I'm sure that they will be soon. But this is what Kinsta have just recently rolled out. So I thought I would mention that. Now, this I find curious, and I bet you this is going to annoy a lot of people. So Morgan, I'm going to go with Morgan, because that is unpronounceable to me. Morgan, can somebody help me out? Yeah, thank you. That. Morgan, what Taco said, has put this on Twitter, and I just thought this was really interesting and guaranteed to cause annoyance. So here we have a view, and again, caveat emptor. If all of this turns out to be just made up, I apologize, but I'm just assuming that what we're looking at on the screen here is legit. It's a picture of the block editor. Inside the block editor, somebody's making a post or a page or something like that, is an ad for a product. It's an upsell. It says upgrade now. There's a button, and it's for Spectra. So I'm guessing that the person that's doing this is inside here, has already got the free version. And so it's sort of like the free version has created some code which will notice, look, they're in the block editor. Why don't we try to upsell them? I don't know how this is going to go down. However, just taking it a little bit further, this is kind of interesting. So somebody then, obviously, the floodgates opened up and a bunch of people sort of expressed their ire, and other people posted some other, in this case, a GIF. And what we're looking at here is something, and this is WP Form. Is it WP Form or Forms? I think it's Forms, plural. They have gone even further, it would seem, in that if you've got their free version installed and you begin to create what looks like a contact form, so in this case, the person who shot the video has created a title in a post of contact, and then an ad appears which says, it looks like you're creating a contact page. And obviously, at that point, they're trying to upsell you WP Forms. And so the point of the original post is this the new sort of thing? Is this something that we're going to be able to tolerate? Is this what we're going to be expecting in the future now? Obviously, we can turn it off, but it just seems to me,
but given would you
how
want
much
to?
Public castration you get if you put anything in the admin area, now that you're putting it inside the block editor, it feels like you're only asking for hurt, aren't you, really? I don't know. Yeah. What do you think?
So I just fact-checked the second screenshot, the second GIF you showed.
Thank you.
With WP Forms, and that is indeed legit.
So that does happen. You've tried it, right? Okay.
Yeah. When you create a contact page, it says, hey, it looks like. So yes, that's correct.
Does that annoy you? I mean, obviously, you work for a commercial company.
Unbearable.
You find it... Okay.
I find it unbearable.
Let's just pause this for a minute. We don't have much time, but I watch the television. I watch commercial television, and I just recognize it's the trade-off. I get the ads. I put up with them. Usually, I put mute on, or I go and make a coffee, but I get that the programming doesn't happen without the ads. I make a podcast. I put ads into it. You can skip them if you like. And I get plugins and I get a free version of the plugin. And there's a thing. And it, you know, and I realize how annoyed people become. So I don't know. I don't know where I land on it. Some of it does sort of take me a little bit of getting used to. But I know that Yoast, for example, they've put ads in the interface before. So let's go to Taco first. What do you think about this implementation? It's specifically in the block editor.
So I hadn't seen this before. However, if it's smart enough and it's showing in context, so you're doing something that's relevant to a plugin you already have installed and it helps you do it better, I'd say it's fair game. It's actually kind of smart, I'd say.
Interesting. Because you've just planted the seed in my head. It doesn't have to be an ad. Like, this could be a conditional logic like, okay, we think you're doing the thing. Do you want help with the Okay.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Because the pop-up from WP Forms doesn't say, buy the pro version now. It says, it looks like you're working on a contact page. We can help you create a contact
form.
So it's in context, it's relevant to the task you're doing. You already have the tool installed. It's not out of nowhere an ad. So it's actually helping you complete a task. I think this is fair game.
That is an interesting observation. I think there's something in there. I guess maybe a boundary that I would draw is so let's say, for example, we got Megacorp over there, and they've got 50 different plugins. If Megacorp starts selling, like pitching, like, I don't have your contact form plugin, but I now see Megacorp's contact form plugin with an install button, maybe there's something that would feel a little bit icky there. This is a tightrope. It's such a difficult tightrope to tread.
It's easy that you've typed gray area. Yeah.
We see that you've typed the word contact. We're going to show you this notice. We see that this appears to be a credit card number. Should we just go ahead and upgrade you?
I think we've definitely gone over a boundary there, haven't we? Definitely.
I think that both your takes, Nathan and Tucker, is my immediate reaction would be, no, unbearable. Stay off. This is not where I want. I'm here to work. I'm here to build my thing. This is not where I want to see an ad. So I take your point, but you have to do it in a really like just helpful way. Cause otherwise, come on, I'm working here. It's just like really, and Telly, I understand Nathan. I accept it as well.
Yeah.
And I understand it's the price to pay to watch Channel 4, and Channel 4 are amazing. Yeah. So, you know, so that really makes me think. But if I watch telly, I'm not doing it for work. I'm relaxing. You're not necessarily interrupting my flow. When I'm working, I'm way more irritable. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's bad enough that I have to be here. And on top of that, I have to put up with your upsell. But I take especially your point, Taco. It could be a helpful way of introducing another part of the service that I do need. And I believe in selling. I tried to sell something online, you know what I mean? We all need to do that, otherwise our businesses stop existing. So fair enough.
I'll just do a few couple of comments quickly. So Daveden says, some of these upsells are not really very nice. I use plugins like ASE, which is admin site enhancements, I think it is, to hide these admin notices. So that's a plugin that you can download to hide other plugin stuff, which is, it does a ton more than that. Corey, ASE should admit some admin. That's this Corey should add some admin notices promoting how they hide the admin notices. Okay, it's very meta. Elliot Richmond, isn't it interesting how this topic always gets the comments? Advertising and upselling has always been a bit of an issue in WordPress dashboards. Top menu items, very annoying, but it's possible. But it's a possible thing in the WP ecosystem code base. Sorry, that got truncated on the screen. Cameron says, I hate it. There you go. I mean, that's fairly clear, isn't it? But noob users would definitely find it useful. That's interesting too. Mm-hmm. It just needs to be able to be disabled. Yeah, I noticed in both the cases that we saw, there was a little X icon, isn't there? But yeah. I'm guessing you're not thinking that. You're thinking, I want to disable it with a toggle so that it never kind of happens again or comes back. Admin notice hook, says Elliot again. Nomad skateboarding, hello. It's out of nowhere because it's not stated that you're adding the ads. It's obfuscation at best. Let me just read that again. It's out of nowhere.
And that's where I disagree because, like Peach said, while at work you get frustrated more easily than outside of work, I would be royally frustrated if I just spent half an hour building a contact page only to find out later that I had a plugin installed that could help me do this in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's
so I'm actually glad it's giving me that help. Like, hey, you realize you have this tool ready to do the task that you're currently doing?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think it's out of context and out of nowhere.
Thank you, Nomad Skateboarding. It's out. I get what you mean now. It's out of nowhere because it's not stated you're getting ads when you install the plugin. And then this one from James. I love it. Your toilet paper is out. Would you like to upgrade to the newest 2-ply ultra soft edition? It's a bit late in that.
Yeah, and again, it's your toilet paper is out. Do you realize that you have some left? To the left of you.
Well,
you've already bought it. You've already got it ready. It's just that you forgot that it's in a different place than you usually look.
I'm so glad that we've ended up combining toilets and toilet paper and WordPress plugins. I'm delighted.
I think you should be really proud of our audience.
No, that's
your
made
audience.
Me giggle. I love that. That's brilliant. And then he carries on to say, Samsung refrigerator ad on digital door screen. That exists. Oh, that's brutal, because that's literally in your house, isn't it? Gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Elementor, says Dave, and Elementor love their ads. You're on the pro version and still get ads for their other plugins like AI image optimizer and so on. Okay. The ads topic is always going to cause fun, is it not? Yeah. It's a guarantee.
And I will usually be on the side where I defend most of the ads because I know how hard it is as a freemium plugin.
Yeah, you've been there.
To get people to upgrade.
Yeah, yeah. You have been there. Anyway, predictably, I suspected that would cause some commentary, and there we go. Right, a very, very quick run through a couple of other things. I just want any plugin developer out there to know that this now exists. It's called WP Synce. It's available on GitHub. It's here. Make sure your plugin works with the right WordPress version automatically. Scans your WordPress plugin to detect all the used core symbols and validates them against their official @Synce versions for accurate compatibility checks. Scans for functions, classes, class methods, action, and filter hooks. I can't say how well it works, but it's just right here. I will post the link in the show notes, but if you can see it, it's github.com/ Eduardo Villaio, Villaio, / WP Synce. Thank you.
I'm curious why you would use this, because that information is on the WordPress.org repo.
It's so that you can automatically guarantee that your plugin will work against a particular version of WordPress. So you can then say that on the WordPress.org repo.
And you're not having to go look up every function method.
Yeah. Fair. So if you've got a plugin and you suspect it might work with, I don't know, version 3.6 or something crazy old.
Right. Yeah. So for plugin owners and not end users.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Well, and plugin developers. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'd say also site admins, right? Like before I upgrade an old site from 6.1 to 6.2.
Interesting.
If I'm worried about a plugin or if I update on staging and it breaks, here's how I might figure out which plugin is causing the issue.
Got it.
Like I see a few different use cases. It's
yeah, very nice effort. No doubt. I imagine developers will hop on this with with great gusto. So okay, very very quickly, we got just an article about Beaver Builder and their roadmap to 2.1. Haven't got time to delve into that. We did newsletter glue. Let's have a look at these bits and pieces. I'll just mention ever so briefly, you've probably seen it in the news, WordPress.com have joined the AI party and they've now got an AI-powered site builder. So there's that. And what is that one? No, the final one. We'll end on this one today, which is Taco's Taco's contribution. He had one at the beginning, but he's dropped this one in as well. It's called Level Up Your SEO Game, Progress Planner's New Integration with Yoast. Do you know what, Taco? I've got to say, I'm not surprised that, that this has dropped. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so the idea of Progress Planner is that we help you do the important maintenance tasks to help your website move forward, to help you your website do better. And obviously, there's more to your WordPress site than just core. So what we're doing, and this is the very first step in that direction, is help you find all the things that you need to set correctly in the plugins that you use as well.
Oh,
so you've got Yoast SEO installed, but maybe you've missed a couple of settings. Any plugin, and this is the other topic that no one wants to talk about, is notifications, can only throw so many notifications before their users get completely fed up and uninstall the thing. With Progress Planner, because we have the gamification element, our users are asking us for more notifications so they can get the points and collect the badges.
You win the game.
We can help plugins get their users to do the things that they would really want their users to do, but can't throw notifications for all the time. And because we know the Yoast plugin quite well, as most of the people at Progress Planner are former Yoast, we've built an integration with Yoast SEO to help you set some of the things correctly in Yoast SEO as the very first venture into a large number of integrations that we're planning to do.
So obviously this was a great place to start because you know Yoast inside and out, and you know what are the sort of top items, you know, the easy ones to cherry pick at the beginning. If you're able to, can you give us some sort of insight into what other plugins might fall, you know, under the purview of this same sort of approach?
Well, I would say that any plugin that has set more settings than they can advertise could be fair game, but obviously we'll start with some of the bigger plugins. Think of WooCommerce, maybe Elementor. So stuff that we can do there. And then for plugin owners, plugin developers who want this ahead of what we can build, there's developer.progressplanner.com, and they can build their own integration with our product to be ahead of us being ready to build their integration.
Okie dokie. Okay, so Progressplanner.com, again, I imagine you'll be able to find it on the blog. The article is called Level Up Your SEO Game, Progress Planner's New Integration with Yoast, and that was published on the 8th of April, 2025. There were a few bits and pieces that I did want to cover, but as always, the time gets the better of us. So all it remains for me to do is, firstly, insist that these people behave in a highly unintelligent way and do this with their hands. Just for a few seconds. There we go. Nice. Got you. Thank you so much. And then obviously, it goes without saying, massive, massive thanks from me. Firstly, to Taco over there, and then to Peacher over there, and then to, I don't know, where are we? We're over there. Corey over there. Thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you to you if you gave us some of your attention today and, you know, joined the comments and put some comments in. It's kind of interesting. I get quite a bit of email, like a few a month, from people who just sort of say they have an opinion on the thing that we've talked about, but they just lurk and they say I'm a lurker. And I'm like, oh, that's fascinating. I love lurkers, but please do feel free to just join in the comments. We definitely don't bite any heads off. And Max says he's joining us from Germany. Please send a helicopter to pick him up. It's on the way, Max. I've sorted it. It's, yeah, you're sorted. Don't worry. And we'll be back next week for the next edition of This Week in WordPress. Take it easy. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.